I'm going to ask you a question, and that is, what does Mark, a fellow in Lakeland, have to do with Elihu and has to do with sea stars? You know, my mind works weird. I can put things together. Mark is a fellow I met my very first visit to the Church of God in Lakeland, Florida. I lived in Tampa. I found out there was a church in a next door city, is about 40 minutes away. And he was the first person I met at the door. He was my age. He took me from the door and introduced me to other kids my age. I was 18. I'll never forget Mark because he was one who led me, made me comfortable, led me into the hall, introduced me, and I became comfortable with the family of God. It was my introduction to the family of God. Elihu, we know Elihu. He's the fourth friend of Job. We know Job had his trial. We know Job had his complaint against God. We know that Job's friends, his three friends, didn't understand the issue that Job was going through. And when everybody was quiet, Elihu, the fourth friend, stepped in and pointed out that God is God, we're not, God will always be righteous, and pointed Job back to God. And then Job had to answer for himself with God. And sea stars. Sea stars. What am I talking about, sea stars? Well, there's a story about a fellow who, after a storm, I think it was in Florida. There's always storms in Florida. And he was walking the beach. And down the beach, there was a fellow who would bend down, stand up, do a kind of funny dance toward the ocean, do some gyrations with his arms, and come back to the shore and bend down, do some gyrations toward the ocean. And the closer he got, he realized he was throwing something. He was picking something up from the ocean, from the sand, and he was throwing something into the ocean. And he was picking up sea stars. After the storm, so many sea stars were just washed ashore, and the tide went out, and now these sea stars were stranded. And looking around, there are hundreds of sea stars. And he said to the fellow, "It doesn't make any difference." He picked up one, did his little dance, and flung it out into the ocean and said, "It made a difference for that one. Made a difference for that one." Sometimes we wonder what God's will is for us. We ask in our minds, God should give us a great task. He should give us a great challenge. We're wanting to make a major difference. God's will is for all of us to be in his kingdom. And yet the real difference can be made one-on-one. One-on-one. It is the personal, up-close, unsung, unheralded impacts that we have on others that can make a true difference in the lives of others. Mark, I will never forget him. I was nervous visiting the church for the first time. I was instantly made welcome and comfortable. And so many years later, so many decades later, I could walk into any church of God and still feel at home and comfortable because that was my start. I learned from Elihu, the story about Elihu, that God is God. And what he allows in our lives, he will always be righteous. And as we discussed in my last message and the first one today, God will see us through trials and difficulties. In the story of the sea star, it makes a difference for even the one. It makes a difference even for the one. It's the little things, a single word, a thoughtful act, showing respect. 1 Timothy 4, please. 1 Timothy 4. First Timothy 4, verse 12. Timothy was called into the ministry. He was a young man. Don't really know how young he was. But here, he was given some guidance and counsel by Paul. He says, "Let no one despise your youth." Don't take it affront that you're a young man, that you don't have the worldly experience that the rest of the world does. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers. Be an example. You know God's word. You know the doctrine. Put it to practice. Be an example. In word, what you say, in conduct, the things you do, in love, God's spirit, the word agape here, in spirit, from the heart, and in faith, believing that all you do is going to be for their benefit. In purity, be an example to the believers. Titus 2, please. Just after Timothy. I went too far, sorry. Titus 2, verse 7. And again, we get back to that word all. All inclusive, in everything. Verse 7. In all things, nothing left out. Whether it's going good, going bad, indifferent. In all things, show yourselves a pattern of good works. Be an example of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. We're to live the example. We are to set the example. One more, please. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, verse 24. So we're to be an example to everyone. We're in everything we do and everything we say, how we approach people. And we're going to add one more piece. One-on-one, we make a difference. Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So we are to get close to one another. We have to share our lives with one another so that we can be encouraging with one another. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, verse 25, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. Fellowship. One of the big difficulties we had back in 2021 was we couldn't fellowship. We were denied the ability to gather together. So we gathered online. We had Zoom meetings. We had church services online. And we tried to fellowship electronically. And it was difficult. One of the side effects of that is that some people enjoyed not getting dressed, not having to get up, and enjoyed connecting electronically. Well, I don't really have to shower and shave. I could just keep my jammies on, just hit a few buttons and put a screen on there so they don't see that I'm still in my jammies and I can connect. But that fellowship is missing. The fellowship is missing. The sharing of the heart in us, what makes us who we are. One of the real differences, and this will be about making a Christian difference, is the fellowship we have one for another. When I went through my issues, the cards, letters, phone calls, I still am uplifted, and thank you for those. It made a difference. It was personal for me. It brought me close together with everyone. John 13, because when we fellowship with one another, when we share with one another, when we set the example for one another, when we show love for one another, the answer here is in chapter 13, because we are now identified quite differently. John 13, verse 34, Jesus Christ is saying, I'm going to give you a new commandment. It doesn't supersede God's 10 commandments. That's the royal law. This is not an augmentation. This is an embellishment. This is an elimination of the 10. Verse 34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you love also one another. By this, having love one for another, that you care for one another, that you show that love one for another, all, everyone, people around you, people in the church, people outside the church will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If you demonstrate love, if you have the example of love and care and fellowship, the world will know you are a Christ follower, an identifier of Jesus, that identifies you as a Christ follower, one who follows Jesus Christ. And it's one-on-one. It's personal. It's personal. The foundation for making a difference is that our lives have a relationship with God and with each other. We have, through relationships, a bond, a connection that is made. We have a common foundation, common goals. We can be different as night and day. In fact, in this room, we are. A variety of backgrounds and education and talents and skills. But God's Spirit binds us together with a common foundation, common goals, and common energy with a common goal. Because we're all on the same journey. Making a difference requires a special relationship, a closeness and a bond. For our willingness to be corrected, to be changed, starts with our relationship with our Father and Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I don't really enjoy someone coming up to me and saying, you know, you're doing that wrong. I know how to do it. Let me tell you how to do it. And I'm going, who are you to tell me what I'm doing? I almost got it right. No, you almost drove off a cliff. My reaction's sometimes not really the best. I don't like being corrected. At least I didn't. I'm growing up. Because now that I'm in my 70s, I know that I make mistakes. But we want to be willing to be corrected. We want to see the example of one another. We want that fellowship with one another. 1 John 1, please. 1 John 1. First John 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, they were there with Jesus Christ. They saw the life, death, and burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were there. They saw, they handled, they witnessed. The life was manifest. Verse 2, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. I'm declaring to you what took place in that fellowship. In that bond, that fellowship, in the word Greek, in the Greek means the community, a shared life and participation, partnership. Jesus was talking about the relationship with God and Jesus Christ. John was writing about the relationship of God and Jesus Christ, that we were partnered. There was a joint participation with them, that we live with common goals, common motivation, ideas and concepts. We're different as night and day, every one of us. We have different talents. I wouldn't even begin to approach a piano keyboard the way young Mr. McNally did. Unless you really want to hear bad chopsticks. And I don't think you do. But we are bound together with a common goal and common relations, motivation. This relationship becomes a way of life. Verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declared to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. How often we go back to the time of the Passover. And Jesus Christ going through that first Passover. And he said that he and God are one and that we are to be one with them. And God gives us his Holy Spirit that we can be one with them. Verse 8, This relationship that we have becomes a way of life. We're to live as Jesus Christ lived, and he lives in us now. We can go to Philippians 2, 1 through 5, that we are to put the mind of Christ in us. We're to have his mind, and we could only do that through his spirit. We now think differently. We act differently. We view life differently. We're to love as God loves, and that's agape love. That's a sacrificial love. It's not just loving those that care for us and we're happy to be with you. We share common talents and hobbies and such. But we love one another with a sacrificial love because we're on a greater goal. We're on a greater journey. We have a shared mind because we share the Spirit. 1 John 2, verse 3. Now, by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. We've studied his word. We study what's important to God and Jesus Christ. He who says, verse 4, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also to walk just as he walked. And when it talks about the walk, it becomes a way of life, a way of thinking, a perspective about the world around us and a perspective about the goal that we're walking to. We cannot make a difference for others if we are not making a difference in our own lives. We're to walk as Jesus Christ walked, to think as he walked, to have his mind in us. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, Paul writing to the Ephesians, be imitators of God as dear children. Look at the word of God and see with the example that was set. What was written about him? What words did Jesus Christ use? What words did Paul use? What did Paul do? Be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. How important that is. We're to be different. We have to change ourselves, so that when we fellowship with one another, we can help and be an example toward others. It's like that the airplane, they come on and say, if a mask falls down, put it on yourself first and then help your child. Or if you have two children, whichever one you want to save first, bad joke. But you put it on yourself so that you can help others. If you put it on others first, then you can become a victim. Here, God wants us to be ready to set an example in our fellowship one toward another. Verse 8, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We don't have fellowship, we don't dwell with, we don't connect with, we don't side up to and say, well, I can get close because I can get comfortable without jumping in with that is dark. We walk and live and care and share and uplift from the inside because we have done that within ourselves. Making a Christian difference requires us to have a relationship with God and Christ, to be living as a Christian, to set the example, to do as Paul did, to do as Peter did, to do as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did. David, Abraham, Moses, Elijah, Elisha. We have wonderful examples throughout the book. Making a Christian difference requires us to have a relationship with one another, to have fellowship with one another, a partnership or joint participation. We have common goals and common motivation. We went to John 13 already that we are to love one another, and that by loving one another, we are now defined as a Christ follower, a disciples of Jesus Christ. It was a clarification and illumination on the Ten Commandments, opening up a deeper meaning and understanding of the book. Loving one another identifies us as disciples of Jesus Christ and as brothers and sisters on the same journey, having common goals. People see us in the streets and assume that we're brothers and sisters at the heart, because we are. We show love one for another. We have communion with one another. We fellowship with one another, bonded together by God's Spirit to care and share and walk together in a spiritual journey in a physical life. Having a relationship, regardless of background, education, employment, hobbies, talents, interests. This mix of members is quite astounding when you think about how we get together, because it is God's Spirit that brought us together. When I think about Mark, an individual I had never met, and all of a sudden I am comfortable in a church of 300 people and crowds. I'm not a crowd person, but there I was, being brought into the body of Christ in the church, made to feel comfortable, introduced around, made to feel welcome, introduced around, made to feel warm and at home. Something I have felt my entire church life. Developing a deep, abiding Christian relationship with one another. What does it truly mean to love one another? I broke it down into two parts. That which we do and that which we say. Let's take a look at the do part first. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. Now, there's nobody here going through trials and difficulties. I understand that. So this is kind of an academic discussion. If any man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 9. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're to bear one another. Be willing to help, add aid, to assist. And then we're to do good to all. Our neighbors, people down the street, someone breaks down, help them push their car off the freeway. We're willing to do good for all, and especially those of the household of God. We're to do things. And that's a sacrifice. We sacrifice our time. Sometimes we sacrifice our income. Sometimes we sacrifice things we have. That's okay. Because the great arbiter, the one who keeps track of things, can more than bless us for whatever we've given in sacrifice. And it says that we have opportunity. You know, sometimes we can be tired, we can be busy, but still an opportunity comes before us. We jump in and say, well, I'll fit this in. I'll help. I'll still help out. And sometimes it can be just as simple as getting a card, getting a phone call, getting a visit, having someone deliver some food when you're not feeling well. Someone comes into church and we have greetings and we're friendly and we're comfortable, whether at home or at church. God says to be willing to help out, and then as opportunities arise, to jump in. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Again, we all have different talents and abilities and skills and hobbies and whatever, but it's God's Spirit. It's the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we all have different energies. We all have different talents, different gifts, and God wants us to use those gifts for the common good, for the benefit of all. Be willing to jump in and help. But sometimes we don't have the ability physically to do anything like that. Well, then we go to the difference we can make is in what we say, in what we say. Ephesians 4, Ephesians 4. Now, this one becomes a little harder because sometimes controlling the little flap in our face, the tongue, becomes very difficult because it flaps before we think. It's a hard thing to control. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Here he's giving instructions to the church in Ephesus. Verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, for the building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. The things we say to one another, is it helping? Is it building up? We don't do put-downs. We don't gossip. We don't backbite. We don't take snips and shots at one another. And the things we say, we don't let a corrupt word. And sometimes coarse words can, you know, in an environment where there's coarse words, we might pick up on some of those as well, and that could be off-putting. But what comes out of our mouth should be edifying, that it may impart grace to the hearers, that it may impart grace to the hearers, the things we say. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. This one is hard because we're surrounded by, well, in the media, in the news, the television, radio, we're surrounded by words that constantly hit us and can affect how we think. I had a team in my last years at work, and my number one was from the manufacturing floor, and the person had a sailor's language. And after a while, I heard myself in my head saying some of those same words, and it shocked me. The environment, I had to actively clear out what I was hearing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on a breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." I mean, with that as a foundation, we could face anything. "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are doing." We get back to Elihu. We get back to the fourth friend who listened patiently to what Job's three friends were telling him, trying to understand why God was doing this to Job. Obviously, Job was sinning, and Job wasn't. But Job didn't have a right understanding of his relationship with God. And finally, Elihu had to step in. I have brothers and sisters who, on my journey over my 56 years, 60, I'm losing track. In my few years in the church, took me aside and said, "Fred, I see this." And it was great and helpful. We're brothers and sisters on the same journey. We are brothers and sisters on the same journey. "Therefore, comfort each other and edify each other just as you are doing." And we do that through fellowship, through the commonality, through the same motivation and the journey that we're on. We share. We share. So we have the do and we have the say. Things that we do are helpful, and things that we say, especially things that we say. We don't do put downs and gossip. You know, sometimes we run into someone who's happy and excited. We don't try and bring them down. Satan does a good job. Revelation 12, he says he is the accuser of the brethren. He likes to accuse us, and he does a great job. Sometimes we might think our words really don't matter. Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 36, but I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Every word counts. This is a warning. Whether our words are justified, whether they're innocent, whether they're helpful, whether they're uplifting, whether they're comforting, whether they're encouraging, or they're condemned, words that just tear to the individual. So we have the do and we have the say, but how about the how? How about the how? Philippians 2. Philippians 2 is a great study into the mind of Christ, Paul leading us to understand our responsibility to get close to God. Philippians 2. Verse 1. Philippians 2, verse 1. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ," the word consolation is encouragement, uplifting, things which motivate us, things which help us. "If any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit," and when we get together, especially here at church, we have fellowship of God's Spirit within us, and we share from the heart the journey that we're on. "Any affection and any mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind," because we're all human, none of us are perfect, regardless of where we are on talent and ability, skills and education. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." We're watchful of our brothers and sisters, the journey that they're on. How can we help them? How could we lend a hand, even if they don't ask? We're there to lend a hand. And of course, there is verse 5. "Let the mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." that we esteem each other, we consider each other, we ponder, we take note of others, that we're all on the same journey, and that we put the mind of Christ in us. And what? How does Jesus Christ view others? He has a lowliness of mind. He understands that we're of a humble background. We see ourselves compared to Christ, not others. We don't compare ourselves to others. Society is a me first thing. We must win. We must have the edge. We must get first. God is give. God is give. What might be an overall perspective of making a Christian difference, the do and the say, is also how we are, how we think. Matthew 25. There is one who takes note in what we do for one another and how we think toward one another. That it does make a difference, the do and the say and the how, that we help and reach out for one another. Matthew 25, verse 34. Well, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? When did that take place? I don't remember it at all. Verse 40, and the king will answer and say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. When we demonstrate God's spirit in us toward one another, when we have the love of Christ in us, when we are a Christ follower, and we share love one for another in fellowship and love and care and concern, God notes that we are having the mind of God toward one another. How we address one another, how we treat one another, how we talk with and how we talk about one another identifies us as a Christ follower. We have built trust with one another. We don't worry about what someone is saying behind our back because we've learned to trust. We do the do and we did the say, and we have the how. We had the opportunity last week, I think it was last week, I lost track of time. We had a sister come out from South Africa and asked if there was anyone who could help. She was coming out. Her daughter was coming to a conference, and she was coming along for the adventure, but didn't know anyone out here. And the opportunity was, can we meet? Just meet for lunch or something. It'd be nice just to fellowship a little. She was looking for fellowship from half a world away. She was the wife of an elder from South Africa. I look forward to it because, as I've always said, there are no strangers in my life, just people I haven't met. And this was going to be another sister from around the world. And we met. And we had the opportunity to host her in California for a few days. While her daughter was working, she was off on an adventure. Couple of three gals took her and showed her California. My understanding from the emails that went back and forth, she's still smiling. And so is her husband. Because that fellowship matters. It matters what we do. It matters what we say. It how we act and react with one another. What we do is as if we are doing it to Jesus Christ. She enjoyed her time because that's what we do. We share from the heart. And it just happens to be that we shared from the heart as if we were doing it with Jesus Christ. Wanting to make a Christian difference in the lives of others requires us to think of what we are doing for others as if they're doing it for Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus Christ, he didn't engage in gossip and such. I think about the example when he started writing with his finger in the sand. I always wonder what he wrote in the sand that caused all those who wanted to hurl rocks at the gal who was being condemned until there was no more accusers. I wonder what he wrote very clearly. Wanting to make a Christian difference in the lives of others requires us to think of what we are doing for others as if we are doing it for Jesus Christ, because we are. We are bonded together by God's Spirit. We have the same mind as Jesus Christ. We're to think about the needs of others, to think how we might help and assist and encourage with the simple action or a simple word, because it can make a difference one-on-one. We can make a difference in everyone's lives, our family, friends, acquaintances, strangers, those who are difficult to us, those who are easy to work with, to people we meet and see and talk with and write to, our neighbors. For those we buy and sell from, we can make a difference. We are obliged to make a difference if we are a Christ follower in everything we say and do. We do so by being encouraging, by being uplifting, by being comforting, by being welcoming, by being helpful, by being serving, by being caring and assisting, cheering, strengthening, consoling, energizing, assuring, benefiting, sustaining to everyone we meet. I kind of ran into a thesaurus. I'm sorry about that. Ran into a thesaurus. Let's close in Romans 15. Fellowship is so important. Getting to know each other from the heart is so important. Our meeting together shouldn't be just so casual. We should have a love and care from the very basic being who we are, a love that transcends our physicality. Romans 15, verse 5. Now may the God of patience, and how grateful I am that God is patient, and comfort. So often I am comforted by God, and I try to share that same comfort with others. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may be with one mind and one mouth glorifying that you may, with one mind and one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we have patience and comfort, and that we are like-minded because we have the mind of Christ in us. That we may be one with one mind in all that we do. And all that we say end up glorifying God in everything we say and do. That's part of making the Christian difference. Sometimes it's hard in fellowship to really get to know someone, but it's worth it. Take the time. Talk to you after.